Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Strategy Discovery, Achieving Business Resilience, Engagement and Performance by Graham Kenny. Narrated by Grant Cartwright. Publisher's Note. In this audio edition, you will hear references to exhibits and endnotes present in the print and ebook formats of the book. Introduction. Management teams and boardrooms are in a strategy mess, confused by what strategy really is and how to design and implement it. Despite all the books, courses, and articles about the topic, the meaning of strategy escapes most managers and directors. The result is corporate underperformance. This book understands this pain and addresses it. What's more, it does so in an engaging way involving, in part, first-hand accounts and stories. It will help improve an organization's performance in significant ways, demonstrating how to design and implement business strategy much more effectively. Using a simple and effective framework, Strategy Discovery brings together the insights I've gathered over an academic career of 13 years and a management and consulting career of more than 30. This framework provides you with a methodical approach to the subject of strategy. I expect that Strategy Discovery will have a wide appeal to managers and directors in organizations across all sectors, private, public, and not-for-profit, because I interact with them constantly as a consultant, speaker, and presenter. I also hope that it will be valued by academics, as it addresses practical pitfalls in existing strategy frameworks. It's built on a sound theoretical base, and it is well-referenced. Many strategy books aimed at the professional market adopt a didactic tone. Practicing managers don't like this, and the books don't sell. Some are full of relational diagrams and dry case studies of remote organizations, another turnoff. Others are light, betraying a superficial knowledge of the topic and the literature. My challenge was to produce a book that had substance, was practical rather than academic, but was still grounded in the literature. It's taken several rewrites to get to the finished product, a book with the following characteristics. Personal. It speaks to me. Useful. I can apply this. Actionable. I know what I need to do. Sound. I can see its roots in academic research and theory. Each chapter starts with a story. Personal. Provides cases and examples. Useful. Ends with a call to implement suggested actions. Actionable. And has endnotes. Sound, which can be seen in the print and ebook versions of this book. The opening anecdote/story is not a case study of some remote organization, but rather an account of a real-life incident. The result is, I hope, I'm in. Each chapter then builds on this in various ways. Cases, client examples, exhibits, and suggestions that together provide a rich texture for the underlying framework. Chapter endings are action points, and all the content is grounded in the literature via references. My goal in writing this book was, to use a cliche, to make a difference. By supplying an effective framework with methods to implement it, I want to assist managers and company directors to improve their organization's performance significantly. Chapter 1. Strategic Factors. Discover the ingredients of success. About 20 years ago, I was appointed general manager of White River Timber, a company that made trusses and frames for houses. White River had been struggling, and my role as CEO was to turn the business around. One fateful morning, after I'd been in the job for about 3 months, I found myself staring out through the large plate glass window that formed one wall of my office, watching the trucks and forklifts below. The forklifts were dashing backwards and forwards at a frenzied pace, loading the semi-trailers. First, the timber frames went on, then the trusses, and then on top went all the other items required to construct a house. I thought, what am I doing here? What do I know about this industry? What would I know about achieving success if I were a timber industry veteran? It was my moment of truth. Then came the crunch question. My real moment of truth. I asked myself, what do we need to do to lift the company's performance? I challenged myself to list, on the fingers of one hand, the ingredients of success in the industry. if I couldn't, I decided I really shouldn't be the company's CEO. In the weeks and months that followed this startling realization, I made several significant changes in consultation with the senior management team. There were four of us on the team: the financial controller, the sales manager, the manufacturing manager, and me. These changes included reducing staff numbers, lowering stock levels, discontinuing unprofitable product lines, closing the not cost-effective milling operation, and so on. As a team, I observed, we were busy doing things and making changes, all of which made sense to us as managers. But as time progressed, I questioned how well we knew precisely what our customers, suppliers, and employees wanted. I also queried what it would take for us to meet those needs in a way that would beat our competitors. I felt that it was essential to be able to state in a few words the ingredients of success, and I wasn't sure I could. Because it was a turnaround job, our management team focused primarily on cost-cutting and cost containment to save the company money. This was fine, I felt, for short-term survival, but of no direct benefit to the customer, nor was it a long-term corporate solution. In fact, cutting costs could impair our competitive advantage by narrowing our product range and diminishing our customer service. My reflection drew me into thinking in a way I'd now label strategic. Until that point, as I've said, most of my focus had been on saving the company from ruin, which primarily led to operational thinking. Time to put some work into discovering the few fundamental ingredients of success in this industry, I thought. I needed to discover the short list of items that could see a business like ours achieve real competitive advantage. Eventually, I did come up with a set of items that roughly fit on the fingers of one hand, and as a team, we continued to make improvements. But I really wasn't happy with my list. It seemed to be a hodgepodge of items, some internal to the business, such as cost containment, and some external, like customer service. I knew I was following a common practice, but it seemed flawed. A little over a year later, after all the tumultuous changes, we turned in the first profit that the company had achieved in a very long time. However, the holding company had other plans for its investment and sold the business. I moved on. I was happy with the results we'd achieved, but not convinced by the framework I'd used. You want to know the ingredients of success. We all do. Whether your passion is golf, tennis, or cooking, you seek to uncover those basic principles which, when applied, will drive you in the right direction to succeed. And so it is with strategy. What are the few things you have to get right if your organization or business unit is to succeed? Two kinds of critical success factors. My career post White River Timber took a fresh turn. Although I contemplated taking on other company turnarounds, frankly, I needed a rest. Turnarounds are tough, and I certainly didn't want to tackle another one right away. So, about a year later, after I completed a building development of my own, I began consulting for clients and conducting my first public seminars in strategic planning. In effect, I'd returned to my academic roots, but this time, I was dealing with practical problems front-on and looking at the theory through a practice lens. I started by employing the term critical success factors for those few things an organization has to get right to succeed. This concept had been around for some time and is still in common use today. You may use it yourself in your own organization. But the problem with the concept is that it covers a wide range of items. The critical success factor label is used for things as different as market share, capacity and productivity, caliber of staff, raw materials cost, engineering capability, operating costs, customer satisfaction, and innovation. In short, identifying critical success factors produces a real jumble of items. To deal with this mess, I began separating critical success factors into two categories: competitive and process. Competitive covered items such as customer service and product quality, external factors. Meanwhile, process covered activities such as selling, engineering, advertising, and so on, internal factors. Note, by the way, how many activity and process words end in ing. However, these labels proved quite awkward and confusing to clients, so I had to rethink and redesign. As I chewed on this, it became clear to me that process factors were second-order items as far as designing strategy was concerned, not the primary focus. Process factors were the operational means to achieving the competitive factors, such as lower prices or a broader product range. Strategy design was about taking positions on competitive critical success factors, such as price and product range, and then using process factors, such as advertising, engineering, and design, to implement the strategy. Strategy aimed to achieve competitive advantage and was clearly and firmly anchored in competitive critical success factors. As the two labels were almost the same, I thought, could we ditch the tags altogether and simply call competitive critical success factors strategic factors? I figured that the process critical success factors didn't need a label at all, since they would reemerge later in implementing strategy. But, and this is significant, their importance is governed by their link, as enablers, to positions on strategic factors. Selecting strategic factors. Selecting the strategic factors for your organization is essential to your organization's success. The critical point is that strategic factors are particular to each of your organization's stakeholders. We discuss stakeholders fully in the next chapter. In the case of the stakeholder group of customers, for instance, I ask management teams, what are the key things you need to get right for your customers in order to succeed? In other words, what are the strategic factors for your customers? They're fundamentally the same question. The answers come hesitantly at first. Have I got this right? The managers wonder. Then, having tested the water, they plunge in, and in no time, we have the first draft of each key stakeholder's strategic factors. Of course, I draw to their attention that these lists are their best guesses, not their key stakeholders' responses. The managers agree and take a note to verify the lists via interviews with key stakeholders later. This is critical because strategy focused on stakeholders must be developed from the stakeholders' point of view. In other words, it must be designed from the outside in, not from the inside out. The process managers and directors use to verify this is interesting. From some, the response is, "My goodness, why aren't we doing this already?" They recognize the need immediately. You can see it in their eyes, on their faces. Others murmur, "Do we really need to do this?" But this disbelief turns to conviction when they realize what they've been doing for years, taking what is best for their key stakeholders for granted, and, as a result, moving their business to a failure-prone position. Refer to the following exhibit for how managers can get it wrong. Exhibit 1.1. Information, not a strategic factor. Strategic factors are the decision criteria a stakeholder group employs to choose one organization or business unit over another. Thus, product range, store location, and price are among the criteria customers use to choose one retail outlet over another. Management groups often become confused in trying to identify strategic factors. Take this list of strategic factors developed by a management team for the customers, current and potential residents, of a large retirement village. Information, quality of services, living conditions, range of services, location, price, image. Information is not a decision criterion, but it is an all-important function of the organization. Other similar terms, such as quality of communication, may be a criterion. Of course, it goes without saying that if I, as a potential resident of the retirement village, don't know your prices, living conditions, range of services, or even the village's very existence, I won't wish to buy into it. But information doesn't qualify as a decision criterion or a strategic factor. Stakeholder strategic factors. Over the years, I've assembled a large database of strategic factors, a list for each key stakeholder of every organization I've worked with. To assist you in your strategic factor investigations, here are a few samples covering a range of key stakeholders across various industries. Customers. When we think of customers, our minds naturally drift to retailing. But let's consider something different. This sample involves a government-owned port corporation we'll call QuickDock. The company has two roles: to act as the overall authority for the port and its operations, and to act as a freight handler in the port itself. The amount of work QuickDock obtains depends on two choices by ship operators. First, they must choose QuickDock's port over other ports in the area. Second, they must choose QuickDock to handle their freight rather than other handlers. The central question for QuickDock is, how do we get more business? As far as ship operators are concerned, two sets of strategic factors are involved. The first set concerns the choice of port. Port capability, suitability for the ship's size and freight. Freight availability, to pick up on the return leg. Congestion, speed of unloading and turnaround time in the port. Location, steaming time, or time between destinations. Price, port charges for docking and remaining moored. The second set concerns the choice of freight handler within the port. Here, the factors are turnaround, links to rail transport, strike-free workforce, good safety record. Access, all-tied access. Charge simplicity, a one-stop shop for total logistics charges. Freight handling capability, cranes and other facilities. Price, charges to unload and load freight. The team at QuickDock, composed of senior management and board members, focused on both sets of strategic factors and developed a strategy that would raise the corporation's performance on those factors, firstly as a port and secondly as a freight handler. Employees. Very often, when leadership teams sit down to develop strategy, they are very focused on customers, particularly designing products that will appeal to customers. But employees are a key stakeholder group that can make or break an organization. If you can't attract and keep star performers, there's little chance that you'll be able to execute your strategic plan. The second sample list of strategic factors concerns employees in a different industry. Building construction. A company we'll call Complex builds schools, office blocks, shopping centres, and public facilities such as libraries and swimming pools, a broad scope of construction projects. It also refurbishes hotels, shops and restaurants. The company operates through a wide range of contractors. Complex wins the head contracts and then subcontracts most of the detailed work on each project. The management team identified the following list of strategic factors for its employees. Rewards, recognition, pay, bonuses and promotion opportunities. Development, skills training and professional development. Workplace environment, comfortable and safe. Organizational culture, ethics, working relationships, communication. Job security, job requirements, flexibility, job demands and empowerment. The margin on the company's projects is a mere 2%. So, in its strategic plan, management developed a strategy to attract and retain the very best staff. It recognized that achieving this edge had an additional effect on contractors and clients. Both would benefit if Complex could attract and retain highly competent staff. Ultimately, there would be a significant impact on shareholders as well, showing up as above-average returns on shareholder funds. As you would expect, I found that strategic factors vary for the same type of key stakeholder in different industries. Safety and health concerns were paramount for the employees of a manufacturer of lead batteries, where working conditions were highly toxic. Suppliers. For many businesses, suppliers are another key category of stakeholders. As many companies learned during the COVID pandemic, without solid relationships with suppliers, your whole business can collapse. Consider now the case of suppliers to a mining equipment company we'll call Equip. It manufactures replacement parts for major earth-moving and drilling equipment. Equip's suppliers provide materials and component parts to produce these replacements. The management team identified the following strategic factors for their suppliers. Profitability, the margin between make and sell. Lead time, to prepare the order, the longer the better. Specifications, clear details of what is required. Payment, promptly and with minimal red tape. Business growth opportunities through a long-term relationship. Equip's management team recognized the importance of doing well on these factors if its relationships with its suppliers were to be effective and not hinder its relationship with its customers. To cite one example, Equip set out to improve its performance on lead time by establishing an information system that ensured suppliers had advance notice of Equip's requirements. This led to better performance by Equip itself in meeting its customers' deadlines. Key result area versus strategic factor. A widespread practice in developing so-called strategies goes like this. During the strategic planning session, the suggestion will be made to identify the organization's critical success factors, key result areas, KRAs, or some other general purpose label for the ingredients of success. Someone will walk over to a flip chart or whiteboard and write a heading, and everyone will pile in to come up with a short list of items. Let's examine several sets of such results derived from this approach. One concerns the World Customs Organization. Listed online as KRAs are International Cooperation and Information Sharing, Harmonization and Simplification of Customs Systems and Procedures, Compliance and Enforcement, Trade Facilitation, Supply Chain Security and Facilitation, Capacity Building, Promotion and Marketing, Research and Analysis, Good Governance and Use of Resources. Here are the KRAs for the Aircraft Certification Business Plan. Implementation of Safety Management Systems. Enhancing Industry Relationships. Enhancing the Certification Program. Ensuring Adequate Regulatory Materials and Policies. Enhancing Management Processes and Practices. Implementation of the Accountability Framework and Safety Management Systems for Aeronautical Product Certification. The Plastic Sector Council also lists 7 key result areas to guide its strategies and activities. Career Awareness / Promotion. Labour Market Research. Training. Job Competencies. Career Development / Continuing Education. Accreditation. Qualification / Recognition. Items such as these, generated in the manner I've described, which then become the focus of developing strategy, don't always carry the classic labels, KRA, or critical success factor. There are numerous synonyms such as priorities, domains, key success factors, priority areas, and even key objectives. But the result is always the same: a set of business-as-usual items developed by a group of managers sitting in a room. It's all too comfortable to be challenging or useful. Note how bland these items are compared to the varied sets of strategic factors described earlier. I've identified 4 fundamental differences between the critical success factors / KRA approach and the strategic factors approach, described next in Exhibit 1.2. Remember these when next you're tempted to look inside out, critical success factors / KRAs, rather than outside in, strategic factors. Exhibit 1.2. Different features. Feature. Number of sets of factors. Critical success factors / key result areas. 1 per organization or business unit. Strategic factors. 1 per stakeholder group. For example, customers, employees, suppliers. Feature. Who identifies them? Critical success factors / key result areas. The management team. Strategic factors. The management team, but only as a first draft. Feature. Who validates and defines them? Critical success factors / key result areas. The management team. Strategic factors. Stakeholders. Feature. Workshop atmosphere. Critical success factors / key result areas. Competitive and combative. Strategic factors. Constructive and inquiring. The first major difference is the number of sets, and this is fundamental to your strategic planning and the development of strategies. With critical success factors and KRAs, there is 1 set per organization or business unit. With strategic factors, there is one set per stakeholder. One for your customers, one for your employees, one for your suppliers, and so on. For example, instead of the KRA called people management, which is very broad, a strategic factor approach would substitute this with the key stakeholder called employees, and then identify the specific strategic factors for this group. These include rewards, work location, co-worker relationships, promotional opportunities, and job demands. A strategy would be developed around these items to achieve a competitive advantage in attracting and retaining effective staff. Take the fast food chains KFC and Burger King. The strategic factors for their customers are product range, product quality, company image, customer service, store location, store presentation, hours of operation, and price. Again, a strategy to achieve competitive advantage would be developed around these factors. A different set of factors exist for each of these chains' other stakeholders, such as employees, shareholders, and suppliers. The second and third points of difference are who identifies and who validates the factors/areas. This is a matter of great practical significance for you. Critical success factors and KRAs are determined by the management team of an organization or business unit. Typically, as I have noted, a manager will walk over to a whiteboard or flip chart and write critical success factors or key result areas on top of it. Then the management team strives to come up with items they think should make the shortlist. As is usually the case in these situations, rank plays an important part. The more senior the manager, the more he or she is likely to get his or her item accepted. The CEO has huge clout. Different personalities also play a part. The persuasive and boisterous outbid the shy. A list is developed at the end of a process like this, but you should ask, is the list valid? The fact that it can only be validated by your management should cause flashing red lights to go off in your head. With strategic factors, the situation is completely different. While the factors may be developed initially by your management team, the team agrees that this is only a starting point. Each list, one per key stakeholder, must be subsequently validated by researching the requirements of each key stakeholder. This is essential if you are to develop effective strategy later. An additional practical impact I've observed concerns the atmosphere in these critical success factor/KRA versus strategic factor sessions. It is very different. In the critical success factor/KRA sessions, the climate is competitive, combative, and sometimes downright hostile. In the strategic factor sessions, the atmosphere is far more constructive and inquiring, as the aim is to see the organization or business unit through the eyes of stakeholders. As a result, the heat is off individual management team members to compete for a point. The emphasis shifts from an inside-out view of what the organization does, the critical success factor/KRA approach, to an outside-in view of what stakeholders want, the strategic factor approach. Your fresh approach. When next you think about the ingredients of success for your organization or business unit, when next you stare out your metaphorical plate glass window searching for answers, take the following few fundamental steps. Change your thinking. Think outside in. You know how easy it is to get drawn in by operational detail, to become swamped by the processes and procedures of your organization, but you have recognized the need to step out of your organization and look at it outside in. It's a discipline that will pay dividends. Identify key stakeholders. Identify the key stakeholders of your organization or business unit, and then look at what you do through their eyes. Here lie your stakeholders' strategic factors and your organization's ingredients of success. Your stakeholders will be groups such as customers, suppliers, employees, and owners. Focus on strategic factors. Ask, what makes them buy from, supply to, work for, invest in your organization or business unit? This is outside-in thinking. You'll come up with items like product quality for customers, order lead time for suppliers, promotional prospects for employees, and capital growth for owners.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?